Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Looking forward to a journey through the issue that we're going to be discussing. The issue, as I mentioned yesterday, announced yesterday on our broadcast, we'll be talking about the coronavirus and prophecy. The coronavirus and prophecy. Do we find the coronavirus in prophecy? Do we find the results of the coronavirus in prophecy? What does the prophetic word of God and the eschatological texts tell us about what we see taking place in the world today? The pandemic, the panic, the hysteria, the chaos, the confusion, the grave concern on the part of everyone on a global basis, and the intrusion of martial law and a police state in America in conflict with our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and what we have as free citizens in America. How do you balance the two? The need to take care of the people, the need to be safe and not look back in sorrow, the need to by faith stand and not out of fear, the need to be able to focus on God and not government, the need to be able to worship and not worry. How do we balance the deadly coronavirus with all of these issues? And more particularly, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, what does the Bible say about the coronavirus and or its trickle-down effects and what we see taking place in America? Let me just do a headline introduction. Here's an article that says, police state, colon, mega church pastor arrested for holding worship services. Perhaps you've read it, perhaps you've heard it. It's been streamed on online news, and it's been hit the news media by full force, local and state, and across the nation. The article says, the pastor of a prominent church in Tampa, Florida, is facing charges after he refused to cancel Sunday worship services that was attended by more than 500 people. Sheriff Chad Christener, State Attorney Andrew Warren, on Monday announced that an arrest warrant had been issued for Rodney Howard Brown, the pastor of the River at Tampa Bay Church. He faces charges of unlawful assembly and violation of public health emergency order, according to Fox News. They have access to, this is what the sheriff says, they have access to technology allowing them to live stream their services over the internet and broadcast to their 400 members from a safety of their own homes. But instead, they chose to gather at church, the sheriff said during a press conference. The sheriff defended the crackdown on religious liberty by arguing that the public safety was at risk, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm appalled by this frightening event that has taken place. I'm appalled by the fact that we are watching martial law and the setting aside of religious liberties that we have in our Constitution. And I'm going to get into the real issues of the broadcast today, but I need to set the stage because in the portion of this broadcast, we'll talk about this arrest and what it connotes and how we the people should respond. I'm looking at a document called Federal Law Protections for Religious Liberties, written by our U.S. Attorney General. It says, Principles of Religious Liberty. I'm reading directly from Attorney General Bill Barr and his statement on religious liberties. Religious liberty is a foundational principle of enduring importance in America, enshrined in our Constitution and other sources of federal law. As James Madison explained in his Memorial and Remonstrance Against Religious Assessments, the free exercise of religion is in the nature and inalienable rights because the duty owed by one's creator is precedent, both in order of time and in degree of obligation to the claims of civil society. Religious liberty is not merely a right of personal religious beliefs or even to worship in a sacred place, but also encompasses religious observances and religious practices, except in the narrowest circumstances. No one should be forced to choose between living out his or her faith and complying with the law. Therefore, the greatest extent practicable and permitted by law, religious observance and practice should be reasonably accommodated. Notice, reasonably accommodated in all government activity, including employment, contracting, and programming. The following 20 principles should guide administrative agencies and executive departments in carrying out this task. And then he lists 20 things that should be examined, looked at, adhered to by any political partition in society, local, state, and national. So the following 20 principles. The principles should be understood and interpreted in light of the legal analysis set forth in the appendix in this memoranda. The first one, and I'll just read it. The freedom of religion is a fundamental right of paramount importance, expressly protected by federal law. Religious liberty is enshrined in the text of the Constitution and in numerous federal statutes. It encompasses the right of all Americans to exercise their religion freely, without being coerced to join an established church or satisfy a religious test or a qualification for public office. It also encompasses the right of all Americans to express their religious beliefs, subject to the same narrow limits that apply to all forms of speech. In the United States, the free exercise of religion is not a mere policy preference to be traded against other policy preferences. It is the fundamental, foundational right in America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk more about that in this broadcast, but I'm concerned when you see the headlines. Another one says, Tampa mega pastor arrested after leading a packed service despite safer at home orders. And it goes on to talk about what the sheriff said. In fact, I was embarrassed. I was bothered. I was angered when the sheriff then quoted or paraphrased that the pastor himself had not obeyed the greatest command that Jesus gave, and that's to love the neighbor. And by him having a worship service, he was not loving his neighbor, end quote. That was directly from the sheriff in Hillsborough County that had the warrant issued, the state attorney there in the warrant issued. But I'm thankful to say, and I'll read more of the articles about it during the course of the broadcast, Matt Staver with Liberty Council has now taken the position of the lead counsel representing pastor in Hillsborough County. And I believe that he will be vindicated when I tell you what the pastor had done in preparation to protect his people. And rather than allowing pastors to be the shepherd, under-shepherd of the flock, to decide how best to handle and manage and care for the flock, then the federal government and the state governments, they're now wanting to coerce, condemn, and frighten all of the pastors into subjection by arresting one pastor in the state of 22 million people in the state of Florida. It'll send ripples across America, shockwaves across the religious community, frighten and petrify church members, congregations, and pastors. And that was the intent, and I believe it was the intent born out of the demons of hell. Now, let me get to our fundamental prerequisite to what I want to say. Let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of a denominational dogma. It's not a matter of rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. The sheriff had even gotten two pastors to speak from the microphone as he was making the announcement and answering questions from the media. Both the pastors were mealy-mouthed, spineless pastors wanting to appease the government rather than standing for God. They ought to have said that this pastor has the responsibility before God. This pastor has the responsibility to preach the word, to witness to others, to tend to the flock and shepherd the flock, watch over the flock, and teach and preach the word, regardless of the conditions in the world, health-wise or otherwise. The pastor and the church, the churches and the pastors, ladies and gentlemen, according to the word of God, do not have any pass that says, except for these conditions, you can preach. The Apostle Paul didn't know anything about that. Daniel, the Old Testament, didn't know anything about that. Peter didn't know anything about that. And I could go on and on and on with the stalwarts of the faith, the giants of the faith in the Old and the New Testament, and their stand and their position, just as in the book of Esther, she recognized that she could put her life in jeopardy, but she said that perhaps she had been brought to a point and place for times like this. And I believe that's what pastors need to see and say and have the understanding today, ladies and gentlemen, that we have the responsibility to God and not government first and foremost. But the Word of God says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then in John 17, 17, Jesus himself made a declaratory statement. He says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what a denomination says, regardless of what the government might tell you, the word of God is truth, nothing more, nothing less. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we need to take a stand on. We need to faith God and not fear government in our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in these final days in which we're living. Yes, I said these final days in which we're living. Because the next thing on the calendar of God, ladies and gentlemen, is the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when CNN News and others will have headlines, millions missing, millions missing. And ladies and gentlemen, after the rapture of the church is the 7 years of the tribulation. I call it the 7 years of ruin. It's where the Antichrist steps on the scene. He is a demonic dictator. He is empowered by Satan himself. He rules with an iron fist. No such thing as a constitution. No such thing as a bill of rights. No such thing as civil rights. No such thing as human rights under the leadership of the Antichrist. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. We're dealing with the question today, or the statement today, in relationship to the coronavirus and prophecy. What does the eschatological text, the Word of God, the prophetic text, what does it say that we need to expect out of what we're seeing with the coronavirus and all of the intrusions upon our liberties and our constitutional fundamental republic, foundational republic that we have? It was George Orwell that said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. You take a stand and you speak the truth. And we have, and I'll talk about it later in this broadcast, we have today set in motion. We've already put in motion by governmental directive, put in motion a snitch system, where you're asked to call a hotline for the government, let them know if your neighbor is not abiding by the stay-in-place law or the rule. You're to call the hotline and let them know, the government know, if a place of business is open that you feel should not be open. You're encouraged to call the hotline and snitch on your neighbor. And ladies and gentlemen, you find in the scripture, the Bible is very clear, in the last days, son will be against father and father against son, and daughter against mother and mother against daughter. It will be the destruction of the family. And we see the family now being dissipated and divided just because of the coronavirus. And so we need to be very careful. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said to Christians, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I pray that that will be the legacy that will be after my life in this world. It is seeking the truth, telling the truth, standing on the truth, even to death. May that be the challenge for our hearts and lives even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators for the hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment as well as power equipment for lawn care and landscape for the home or business. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's at the location of the gigantic U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying 24/7. Find that flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com. ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of the telephone number today, and it's important. It's urgent for you to call in. I need to know where you stand. I need to know what your position is. Do you believe that you need to call a governmental hotline and tell about your neighbor? You believe you need to be a snitch, telling the government whether or not a place of business is open that you think should not be open? Do you believe that that is in harmony with what the Bible says that we ought to do and how we ought to live our lives in these last days? That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. This program, Let's Face the Issues, is designed around you, our listener, to join in and participate in the telephone call. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can analyze, scrutinize, and have dialogue and discussion with your interest in the subject that we're speaking on today. Ladies and gentlemen, every day, each and every day that passes, every 24 hours, brings about more and more chaos and confusion and consternation and concern simply because of the coronavirus. The coronavirus, ladies and gentlemen, is something that is dangerous. The coronavirus is dangerous. It's deadly. And make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very bad virus. Many people will die, no question about it. And I have covered this before several times in the past couple of weeks on this same broadcast and comparing the numbers. And some say that you ought not to do that. It's the comparison of what's happening. More babies are murdered every day in America than the coronavirus will kill in a month or 6 months or a year's time. Across America, more deaths take place as a result of overdose with pot and the opioid drugs. And yet that is not top line headline news anymore. More and more states are recognizing and authorizing the legalization of marijuana that will destroy the body, will destroy the life, destroy the lives of our sons and daughters and grandkids. And yet we have today abortion that is rampant. We have the same governor, Governor Cuomo, that signed the bill and rejoiced in signing the bill that will allow a child in the mother's womb to be murdered right up to the very moment of birth. And yet he is concerned about loss of life in New York and New York City and the state of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, that's disingenuous. The same one that signed that bill and laughed about it now says all lives matter and we need to take care of lives. But at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, in New York, in Washington State, and in several places in California, they're now making a determination, a decision, without the knowledge of the patient, without the knowledge of the patient's families, without the knowledge of any conference with the patient's families. They're making a decision on who lives and who dies, based on age, based on infirmity, based on potential revival or being able to get the person to back to health, being able to reinstate the health. They make the decision who they're going to give a respirator, who they're going to take care of, who they're going to intubate, and who they're going to simply let die. That's taking place as we speak, and it's being done on the pretense that we don't have enough supplies. Ladies and gentlemen, when Governor Cuomo said publicly that he didn't have enough respirators, he lied to the public, he lied to the media that he was talking with, because at the time he made that statement, there were over 4,000 respirators in the boxes, in the warehouses, in New York, that he was hiding and didn't want anybody to know he had them. He ultimately had to admit that we have respirators, and he's still demanding that we need more. That's another story. But that's part of the picture, ladies and gentlemen, that we see that's ginning up the fright, the fear, the consternation, and the urging for more and more local rules and regulations to impose upon the citizens that absolutely put us in a position of martial law state system in America. Ladies and gentlemen, they're making headway on a very fast track toward martial law. In fact, I believe it's martial law already without being declared that. In fact, I'm concerned and I'm in consternation when I read the whole list of executive orders made by the governor here in the state of Florida. And the last, out of the last 8 or 10, majority of those executive orders are listed as confidential. He's made executive orders that are confidential, has not yet been related to the general public that we're not aware of. I wonder what's behind the seal that says confidential in those executive orders by our governor today. Now, I'm not trying to diss our governor. I'm simply saying that these things are taking place on a national level with mayors and governors across America that I believe is detrimental and will ultimately be usurping the authority that they do not have otherwise. But I want us to understand, with all of that being said, ladies and gentlemen, calm your heart, still your mind, focus your eyes on the fact that God is still in control. that God is on the throne, that God is ultimately in charge. God's not gone to sleep. He's not gone on vacation. He's not hidden, closed his eyes. He's not sleeping. He's not silent. In fact, perhaps an article from the CEO of Hobby Lobby says it best. Let me read you just some brief excerpts from an article from Hobby Lobby's CEO. Says it's a powerful letter to all employees. Quote, God is in control. He says, while most restaurant dining rooms and many other stores have been closed, there are some stores that might be considered non-essential. They are keeping their doors open. Many craft and art supply stores fall under that category, and it's easy to understand why they'd remain open. People are stuck at home. For many, that means starting out or completing projects. There are several big art and craft supply stores that have made their policies clear while they're keeping their doors open. And he goes on to list them, Joann's and Michael's and Hobby Lobby. And then he says, Hobby Lobby has also decided to stay open this time, for this time being. But it has gotten some flack online for that decision, which is ironic considering it's the only art and craft store making that decision. A letter to employees from the founder, David Green, has been shared in several places in the news media, and the company's characteristic Christian roots are on full display. Here's some of the things he says. While we do not know for certain what the future holds or how long this disruption will last, we can all rest in knowing that God is in control. So that's what I want us to understand today. And I have the facsimile of the actual letter that he had written, not just the article published on the news about it. And he made the statement, God is in control. God is in control. And ladies and gentlemen, I want us to rely on that statement as we think on the balance of the subject today that we're dealing with, that God is in control. God is sovereign. And so if God's in control, why are these horrible things taking place, perhaps you'd ask? If God's in control, why the coronavirus? If God is in control, why are we having the panic in the world? If God is in control, why are we finding such consternation on the part of Christians? If God's in control, and Christians say that we believe in the Bible, we believe in God, we trust in Him, we by faith said yes to Jesus, why are we fearful? Why are we panic-stricken? Why are we in this panic, horrific, hair-on-fire hysteria in America if we truly as Christians believe that God is in control? Throughout the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, we find illustrations of calamity and God's people being taken into bondage. Why is this so if God's in control? Because God brings judgment upon people to get our full attention. God wants us to pay attention, and that's the reason for 9/11. That's the reason we have had Hurricane Katrina. That's where we've had so many earthquakes and tornadoes and catastrophes across the globe. God is saying, look up. I'm in control. God is saying, I want your attention. I want you to know that you can't handle it, but I can. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I just want to say I do agree with you about God is angry. He's angry about all the millions of babies that are being murdered, and it's like the governments don't care. He's also angry about the sin of homosexuality. Also, I don't know if you had read that in Italy. If you're over 80 years old, they were told to just give you the last rites, not to give you any type of medical attention.
That's correct. And they're setting that into place here in America as we speak, mm-hmm. across the nation.
That. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. You're exactly right. Your insight is on target. I believe that God is saying enough. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What God has done, God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's what's found in the Word of God. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God is patient only so long, and then he says, enough is enough. And when you find today the abortion clinics open across America, right here in the city of Jacksonville, the murder by way of abortion is full swing and nothing is being done about it. And yet it is not anything but elective surgery. And yet hospitals cannot give elective surgery. It must be compulsory. It must be something that's life or death surgery. And so we have the homosexuality, the sodomite lifestyle that is rampant across America and around the globe. We have the murder by way of abortion, and we wonder why God is angry. We wonder why God's judgment might fall upon a nation. It's simply because, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we turned our backs on God. We've refused to allow God in the classroom. We banned the Bible. We banned prayer. And now we're saying, God, help us in this time of calamity and catastrophe with the coronavirus. Remember, God's word is truth, not error. And without any question, God will come to allow it to come to pass just as he says it will. Remember, the Bible warns, ladies and gentlemen, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous, ladies and gentlemen, means dark, difficult, dangerous, devastating, deadly. And the scripture says shall, and may I simply modify for purpose of talking, has come. Perilous times are upon us, ladies and gentlemen, today as I speak. We are in perilous times. We're witnessing God at work today, perhaps as we've not witnessed his word coming alive and jumping off the pages in recent years. His prophetic word is now being fulfilled. Let us just, we see perilous times in several of the following fashions. I'm going to just do a litany overview of the perilous times that we're seeing. In the latter portion of this broadcast, we're going to analyze them, going to flashback them, going to look at the scripture and analyze what God is doing and why he's doing it and what his word says. And I pray that as a result of this broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen, you'll wake up, lift up, you'll look up, lift up your head, realizing our redemption draweth nigh. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God is in control. And we ought to be as servants of God. We ought to be submissive and fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There is no place in my mind, and you can challenge me if you'd like. You can differ if you please. There's no place in the heart and the mind of the Christian where we ought to be petrified, frightened, worried, anxious, and in a total disarray as a result of what's happening. We need to analyze the Word of God and see what God's doing in times like these. We're seeing things like government orders churches across America to close. Government orders the churches to close. Now, 20 years ago, we would have said that'd be impossible. 5 years ago, we would have said that it would have been impossible. 6 months ago, you could have asked the strongest Christian pastor, theologian in America, is it possible for the government to simply say, church, close your doors, and the churches would bow in submission and say, yes, sir. We would have said it'd be impossible. We're watching it come to pass today. And when I sat on my couch and watched the television news yesterday, when that pastor was arrested, and the sheriff in Hillsborough County bragging about what they had done because, after all, that pastor had methodology and means of streaming his worship services. He didn't have to have live worship services. And during that time, two pastors stood to speak on the sheriff's behalf and lauded the sheriff for arresting the pastor and said that the pastor should not have had worship services. That is to force pastors to comply with the non-constitutional, illegal acts that's being carried out today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's another story if martial law were to be enacted. Martial law simply, then at that point in time, all of the Constitution is suspended, and the government has the authority to do with and to the people as they please. They don't have that authority right now, ladies and gentlemen. Listen very carefully, and we'll talk about that further in the broadcast. Religious and civil liberties are foreclosed upon without legal due process guaranteed by our Constitution. If you're going to close the church down, there needs to be due process. There needs to be a complaint filed and a hearing set where a judge makes the decision before you can go out and arrest somebody simply because he supposedly disobeyed an illegitimate, illegal, unconstitutional order. Number three, businesses across America in this great country are closed. 4.5 million people thrust out of work and filed for unemployment just in the past 2 weeks. Mayors are threatening to shut off water and power to force the closing of businesses and churches in city after city across America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute top-of-the-hour break. We'll have our news. After the news, we'll come right back. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there for the balance of this broadcast. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.